Go ahead, be seated, be seated, be seated. I'm gonna blast through this. I have the daunting task of introducing our guest speaker this morning, but I need to, I'm just telling you, I need to this morning give you some background for this. I need you to connect some dots here between what we feel here at Grace Chapel and what's happening on a much bigger level across the nation. So to put this in the most recent context, about 3 years ago, almost to the week, maybe 3 years and 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in the front here worshiping, and God spoke to me. If he's ever spoke to me, he spoke to me right there. And he said, we need to call the city of Nashville together to pray and to repent and to call out to him for the nation. And in 6 weeks' time, my dear friend Bob Perry, who's here with us this morning, we worked together, Pastor Mark, the whole team, a bunch of y'all volunteers, and in 6 short weeks, we called together 110 churches from Nashville. Thousands of you showed up on the Capitol steps, and we had a Sunday evening prayer meeting that lasted, I don't remember, 2 or 3 hours. We had all of the most famous singers there, and we didn't tell one person any famous people were coming because we wanted it to be about Jesus' presence and not celebrities' personality. Amen, somebody, remember that? And so it was a nameless, faceless time of repentance and proclamation. Thousands of people showed up. I can tell you for sure that one of the astounding things that happened as a result of that was Proposition 1 passing here in the state of Tennessee. We were outspent, I don't know what it was, by the pro-abortion crowd. We were outspent, I remember hearing numbers anywhere from 5 to 10 to 1. It was an impossibility for Proposition 1 to pass, and Proposition 1 passed as we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. So this issue of praying for the nation and praying for the people, it's why we do House of Prayer. It's why we do Before the Throne. It's why we start the first 3 weeks of the year in fasting, just crying out to God and asking him to move. Now, more recently, we started this year with a series entitled Rebuild, Don't Relax. If you're new to the church, back in January, we started this series, and it was birthed from a compulsion that I had that a lot of people in the body of Christ had this huge exhale because we dodged the bullet of Hillary Clinton not being elected. I'm not getting political, I'm just telling you what's happened in the spirit. That there were people that just felt, ooh, gosh, Hillary's not gonna be our president. And I was profoundly concerned that the body of Christ would fall further asleep because we thought, okay, we got our guy in the White House, because predominantly evangelicals are Republican and conservative and whatever, and it was just this time to exhale and relax. So we preached through Ezra and Nehemiah a series entitled Rebuild, Don't Relax. This was a time to rebuild, to recognize the time, and we made the important point. You know, everybody's saying, oh, Trump's the 45th president, and, you know, Isaiah 45 talks about Cyrus and all that. I'm not here to debate that one way or the other, because my concern wasn't whether Trump is Cyrus of old from Isaiah 45. My concern was that we were gonna look like the two-thirds that stayed in Babylon when only one-third went back to rebuild when Cyrus said, let's make a difference. And so my issue was, let's rebuild and not relax. And so we preached through that series and all of that stuff. And I'm just trying to give you some context here. So when I heard about what was happening with Awaken the Dawn, okay? And so David Bradshaw and his group, in a very quick way, but on a much bigger stage, are doing Awaken the Dawn in Washington, D.C. We have that slide back there. So here they're coming. I've been telling you about this. On the National Mall, coming up October 6th through the 9th, it starts with Awaken the Dawn. There's gonna be 50 tents from the 50 states of the United States of America with nonstop prayer and worship, intercession, the proclamation of the gospel for 3 solid days. There's gonna be tens of thousands, we hope hundreds of thousands of people show up. Each state, we got the report last night, each state is almost full, and most states are full. Some states have a little bit left to go for full representation of 2-hour shifts of 3 days, 24 hours nonstop, praying, crying out to God on behalf of the nation. And so we're stoked to get behind that because this is what we feel in our hearts happening on a much huger level. When I heard about it, I went, we've got to participate in this. We've got to get involved in this. So we're getting involved in this. So we hosted the Awaken the Dawn team yesterday afternoon, and it was just a beautiful time. Had a great service here last night. God's Spirit was poured out. People were touched all across the altar. It was amazing. So then we've got that brewing. Now, where do we transition just a little bit? That's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, those 3 days. Then on Monday, Columbus Day, in Washington, D.C., the fourth day of this is going to be Lou Engel from The Call doing this Rise Up The Call event. And this, listen to me, this has to only be God. Nobody would have the courage to do what you're about to do. Lou, this has to be God. This is a call, listen to me, of the women of the United States of America in the body of Christ to become an Esther and a Deborah, to rise up to your holy place and calling and be, cooperate, facilitate, pray the price so that our nation, our sons and daughters can come back to Christ so that we could see a great outpouring. We could see prodigals come home. We could see the lost be found. We could watch the sick be healed. But this is going to be 4 days of amazing spiritual impact in our nation's capital. And I can't tell you how excited I am about it. Now, with all that being said, you know, when you don't preach, you gotta preach a little bit. You gotta do a little bit. Now, with all that said, we have the privilege, and to be honest with you, I met Lou yesterday for the first time. I've known of him for years. We have many mutual friends. I met him for the first time. But I've been told over and over again, what he carries, and I know this, he fills stadiums with tens of thousands of people for 12-hour prayer meetings. Just last year, the LA Coliseum, Sarah and I watched online in our living room, weeping, watching people pray and cry out to God. Anyway, enough of that. Could you just open your heart and your hands for Lou Engel this morning? Could you be a blessing to him? Sorry.
That's introduction, dude. I don't even have to preach it now. Let's remain standing. I want to pray for America. It's in the 90s. We experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that went for 3 years, for 9 months, six nights a week gatherings, hundreds of thousands gathered because Jesus had come. In the midst of that, I was asked to come to preach to a youth movement thing, a youth church up in Bakersfield, California. And I didn't know who they were, but as I was there in the meeting, they're worshiping God. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I want you to preach, and I want you to tell them, God is going to show mercy to the youth of America because of the great, 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 great grandchildren of Jonathan Edwards, the father of the first great awakening. And the Lord spoke to me because just like David remembered his covenant with Jonathan and showed mercy to Mephibosheth, a broken generation, he will show mercy to the youth of America, broken as they are, because there is a covenant with Jonathan Edwards for a third great awakening in America. I told nobody what I was going to preach on. And right in between the worship and when I'm getting up to preach, some kid walked up to me. Don't know who he is. Might have been Mephibosheth. And he said, hey, Mr. Engel, guess what? I said, what? He said, I just found out this week I'm the great, 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 great grandson of Jonathan Edwards. I have not stopped praying this because I believe there is a covenant that's stronger than the breaking of the covenant. I believe God still is going to show mercy to the youth of America. Let's pray. Father, we pray for our third great awakening, God. We pray for a Jesus movement far greater than the 60s and the 70s, where thousands of young people were being saved everywhere. Here in Nashville, where 10 years ago, 77,000 gathered in a stadium, pour out, make this a womb of revival. Make this church a womb of revival. Make this city a womb of revival and show mercy to America in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to show a video right now. I'm not going to dwell on the video. We are holding this amazing gathering. It's got a storyline. I want to show this, and then I'm going to bring it back to the storyline of God. Can we watch this video rise up?
I believe the collective cry of a million mothers around the world is going to birth a movement that is greater than anything we have ever seen.
Believe that there's a march of Deborah coming forth. That's the march of righteousness and purity, and it's fearless.
We have been prepared for the last years for such a time as now. And the heart, why me? Why do I believe in this? It's because we do have to stand up for this generation.
We can rise above what our culture is telling us a woman has to be in this hour.
This is our time. This is our hour. And there may never be a time like this.
This is the time for the women and girls of America and around the world to wake up and rise up.
So we're calling an army of young generation Esthers and Deborahs to rise right now,
so that they can stand in who they are and have the foundation of knowing God.
You don't have to settle for a generation in our nation being destroyed by deception.
It's time for the woman to step out of the shadows of insecurity and fears and shame.
Be who God created you to be and set your world on fire.
It's time for the women preachers to arise. It's time for the women voices to arise. It's time for the real thing. It's time for the outpouring of Acts chapter 2. It's why I believe in this call to women to rise up as mothers of a nation, mothers in your family.
And if you'll come, and if you'll cry together, God is gonna birth it.
I am Deborah.
I am Deborah.
I am Esther.
I am Esther.
I am Deborah.
I am Esther.
For my sons and daughters.
For my sons and daughters.
Sons and daughters.
I will rise up.
I will rise up.
I will rise up.
I will rise up.
For my sons and daughters.
Beginning today and on October 9th,
we will rise up.
Yes. Turn with me, if you would, turn with me to Psalms 40. In the book of Psalms, chapter 40, David has experienced an incredible rescue operation in his life. He cried to the Lord, and the Lord rescued him and put a new song in his mouth. He explodes in praise. And verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. He explodes in worship because of his deliverance, and he begins to declare, the past is full of your miracles, and the future is full of your glorious plans. These very words are actually coined and revealed in Psalm 139, where God's thoughts toward us are too numerous to count. He wrote a book about our lives before we were ever born. Come on. Before we were ever born, God had a dream for our lives. He is the author and the finisher of our life. He is the greatest storyteller. And every one of our lives are a story before we're ever conceived. This is profound to me. He goes on and he says, and David breaks out and he says, sacrifice and meal offering, you're not desired. God is not into religious sacrifices. Burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do your will. Come on, that is an extraordinary passage. It is written of me in the book. David is speaking of himself. And we'll find out that in Hebrews 10, this passage, he breaks out speaking of his own life and ends up prophesying of Jesus, who says, it's written of me in the book. Here I come. Come on. David, there, I believe every person needs to know the storyline of their lives. They need to know the author. They need to know the title. They need to know the chapter titles of the unfolding dream of God written in his book before you were ever born, so that at some time in your life when it all converges, you could say, here I come. Oh, there's power. Here I come. This is not boasting. It is knowing who we are as sons and daughters and understand that God has called us to change the world. And before we ever born, he had that dream. You say, well, my dream is kind of shattered. It's kind of a nightmare. Welcome to good novels. Every novel has this up and down. You think of Joseph. You see, I believe that dreams are actually like chapter titles of the next stages of our lives. Don't you love that God is the dreamer of our dreams? I thank God the foundation is the Bible, the Word of God. But it's nice to have a love letter every once in a while in the night. A kiss from heaven that tells you who you are to him and where you're to go. You think of Joseph, and you think of Joseph, you know, here he is, just a cool teenager. And he has a dream. And his dream changes everything. And when you're going to look at the story of Joseph's life, you can't graph poetry. God says, we are his poem. We're his poetry. But if you could graph poetry, Joseph's life, it would look like this. Loved by his father, hated by his brothers. Gets a multicolored coat, hated more by his brothers. Has a dream that he's going to rule the world. Hated more by his brothers, thrown into a pit and becomes a prisoner in Potiphar's house. Becomes the ruler of Potiphar's house. Falsely accused of rape and doesn't get bitter because bitterness shuts down the storyline. The step to promotion in the kingdom is how you respond when you're wounded by your own brethren. Will you strike out or will you yield to God knowing he's the author and the prison may be a part of the story? Thrown into prison, becomes a ruler of prison. Interprets a dream in prison, forgotten in prison. Until the fullness of time, Pharaoh has a dream, he interprets it. You graph it. Draw a line under, it's a crown. All along, a dream had been written, but he had to walk out the storyline, good and bad. Can I say, there's a story going on in America, and the last chapter has not been written. There's a storyline going on in your own life, and the last chapter has not been written. And there's a storyline for your church, and the last chapter has not been written. I don't know where you got that song, Revival, but that's in my book. Did you write it? Who wrote the, whatever, huh? The worship leader wrote that song. You see, my chapter and your chapter meet together today. Because you see, in 1984, I had a dream. My pastor had a dream in Maryland of a black man saying, come to Los Angeles. There's going to be a great revival. Because of that, 12 of us moved to Los Angeles thinking the revival would come right away. My pastor said the 80s were from Hades. Usually you get a dream and it becomes a nightmare. So that God gets all the glory when he resurrects it and makes a name for himself. We moved there for 10 years, and instead of the revival, we get the riots. See, he had had a dream of a black man saying, come to Los Angeles. During the middle of the riots, the pastors are meeting, Jack Hayford and others, in an emergency gathering. The city's burning the ground. A black man stands up, pours out his heart. My pastor's weeping. And he said, Lou, that's the man in my dream of 1982. He goes up to him and says, have you been praying for revival after the meeting? He says, I've been praying for revival since 1982. And under the rubble of the riots, you could hear the sound of revival. Under the flood of Houston, I can hear the sound of a latter rain. Come on. I could hear the all this turmoil and tension is preparing America to get saved. Like the 60s and 70s and the turmoil that was taking place, God is preparing this nation to have its greatest awakening. That is my conviction. It was in 84, and I bring this story into this. And I'm not a Bible teacher. I wish I was. Pastoring must be the hardest job in the world. To teach every week, thank you very much. My seminary professor once said, sheep bite. Hey, those sharp teeth, pastor says. Me, I just go tell stories. But stories can cause bones to rattle. Yeah, yeah. I believe we're in God's story in these days. I go back to 1984. This dream of a black man. I think it's interesting, it was a black man. I believe the crisis of race in America is preparing us for an Azusa anointing of William Seymour, a black man, and a white man, Frank Bartleman, leading, moving together for revival. You see, I believe only a unified church can heal a divided nation. If the church can't unite, we cannot heal this nation. You get authority over a nation if you get if you're living in Christ with authority. See, you can't bind what binds you. You got to live above it. If we have speech in our mouths, accusing and slandering and fighting, we are actually come under the elemental principles of this world. During these days, 1984, we had moved to LA. I was reading a book called Azusa Street. Azusa Street Revival, they said the color line was washed away in the blood. I was reading this book, and he was praying, Frank Bartleman, the author, was praying 100 years in Pasadena, where I lived, and I felt as if there was a covenant that I was in with a dead man. Because his prayer is still alive, and he is also in the great cloud of witnesses. They're joined with us. I don't think they're looky-loos in heaven. I actually think they're engaged in intercession mood. What will you do with our legacy? And I got so possessed by the book lit me on fire. Ever have a book light you on fire? Come on. Moses had a burning bush. I had a burning book. And I turned aside to see what this sight is. It lit me up. When you get a burning book burning inside you, it's not just because it's a cool book. He may be calling your name. I was so possessed by this book, I began to cry out to God. And I prayed and went into fasting about 18 days. And I was crying out. And one night at the end of that, I went into my garage and I prayed like I never prayed before. God, give me the mantle of Frank Bartleman. I don't want to dream about revival. I want to see it. And I cried to God for 2 hours. And the next day, a brother walked up to me. Didn't know what I was praying for. And he said, Lou, I had a dream last night. And in this dream, I saw a big black book. And the title said Revival. And I turned the inside of the cover and I saw a guy's face. And his name was Frank Bartleman. And his face turned to your face. And I know the title of the book that God's written about my life. It's called Revival. My calling is to be a fasting intercessor, to mobilize prayer. And I have a feeling our book chapter moves together right now for the sake of a nation. I still believe revival like we have never seen is coming. Come on. You know, once you begin to move with God, believe your dreams and step into it, all of heaven's resources begin to come towards you. It's called divine providence. About a week later, I was in a Women's Aglow meeting. I wasn't a woman, wasn't aglow. I was a sponsor. I wasn't speaking. Nobody knew me. I'm sitting there at the end of the meeting thinking, I'm standing there, what the heck am I doing here? And this African-American lady walks up to me and she says, you know, in 1906, there was this black lady praying with this guy named Frank Bartleman. She said, I feel like I'm that black lady looking for that Bartleman. I said, lady, we gotta talk. I went to her church and sleeping bags all over the church. The women were praying 7 days and nights continuously, praying the promises of revival. I'm looking back now and I'm saying, I hear the sound of a women's prayer movement coming forth to give birth to this revival. And it will be manifested in public on October 9th in D.C. to pray for a new awakening and for the youth of America to be saved. I'm on a journey. That's where my book started. I'm telling the story because I need to tell it to myself. I need to encourage myself that if I had a beginning like that, there is also, God will not fasten my soul to a dead end vision. Come on. He will not fasten our souls to a dead end. Even if we don't see it, we pass that baton to the next generation and they go further than we ever went. All that prayer erupted in 1994 and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So marvelous. And then in 1994, and I'm telling this story because I'm prophesying over this church. I'm prophesying of its place. I believe this is what the Lord said to me. This place can be the womb of a prayer movement that touches the whole nation and this city. When I saw that song up there, I said, God, that's it. I got a speed dial. But it was in 1994. I was burning inside, and I longed to see what the Moravians had seen in a 100-year prayer meeting, day and night, never ceasing. And I began to ponder, God, I want to do on earth as it is in heaven. What's going on in heaven? Day and night, continuous worship. And on earth, why don't we do it on earth as it is in heaven? We pray that way. Listen, I believe the 24/7 prayer movement is not just a fad. It's the welcoming party for the coming of the presence of the Lord. Because that's what's going on in heaven as it is in earth. And as I'm pondering this thing, a prophet from Nashville, his name is James Gull. I'm reading his article. And his article is about 24/7, about the Moravian lampstand and how he had just come from where the Moravians held their prayer meeting. And he's talking about this, how it birthed the modern day prayer missions movement. And as I'm reading this, he says, and there will be 120 cities that will start day and night worship and prayer gatherings. And then it will erupt all over the world. I had met James Gull once in my life. And when I read this, I ran down into this mod auditorium where the revival was taking place, huge 3,000-seat auditorium, old revival barn of the Nazarenes. And I began to cry, here, Lord, sometimes we need to unloose our prayers. We got to break out of this staid and somber line. Oh, that prayer that says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and extend my boundaries, lay your hand upon me, deliver me from Satan's schemes. People said, well, it's just a formula prayer. There's one word that keeps it from being a formula prayer. The one word, oh! Give us an oh! An oh in Nashville. Oh, that you would bless us indeed. I forget what I was talking about. And I went down with snot flying from my face and nose. Here, Lord, Mud Auditorium, 24-hour house of prayer. Here, Lord, Mud Auditorium, 24-hour house of prayer. The phone rings, bummer. I feel like the Lord says, answer the phone. I go to the phone, it's my friend of many years. And I said, I just read this article by this guy named James Gull. And I'm just crying out, here, Lord, Mott Auditorium, 24-hour house of prayer. And he said, that's why I'm calling you right now, because I'm in this city that's far away from L.A., and James Gull is preaching right now, and he just stopped and began to prophesy. Lou Engle, Mott Auditorium, 24-hour house of prayer. Lou Engle, Mott Auditorium, 24. I knew the Lord was giving me this story to provoke faith, that day and night prayer. Come on. We launched 3 years of a day and night house of prayer with a little boom box. We didn't have worship teams, but I tell you, 3 years, it birthed the call. I want to say, I believe there is a house of prayer in this house. I believe There is an army that could fuel heaven with day and night prayer. I give you that story, not because it's a cool story. I give it to you as a seed of faith. That from Franklin, from this, whatever the name of the town is. Yeah, that one. Incense will arise day and night to make this city a dwelling place of the Lord. He comes where he's wanted. That was in 1994, 1996. I went on Bill Bright's 40-day fast where he called 2 million believers worldwide to go on 40-day fast. Do you remember those days? And I went on a 40-day fast, 1996, launched a house of prayer. It was one of the most profound seasons. I want to just tell you that in seasons of fasting, you make your life a landing strip for revelation. See, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He understood that there is bread that comes from heaven. When we shut down the flesh, where the flesh is dominated and the spirit man becomes alive, he can hear the voice. And it was in those times that God gave me my life job description. Come on, dreams are sometimes chapter titles of the next seasons of our life. I heard the audible voice of God, stretch forth a awakening rod over the earth. Will you do that? I woke up out of the dream and I knew I was given an assignment for worldwide awakening. I didn't know what it looked like, but I knew it was the word of the Lord. A dream came of a Buddhist house of prayer on top of a Christian house of prayer. And the Buddhist house of prayer was dominating the Christian house of prayer. But the Christian house of prayer did a reversal and began to dominate the Buddhist house of prayer. And the Lord spoke to me, raise up a house of prayer that will contend with every other house that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When Buddhists pray, when chant day and night, when Muslims pray 5 times a day and fast for 30 days in Ramadan, and the church can barely have someone in their prayer meeting, something's got to shift. These religions are fueled. The demonic realm is fueled by the proclamations of their house of prayer. We are in a day that secularism has to fall to the power of the intercessions of the church. And at that time, I received a dream. And in that dream, I was with these leaders of a ministry called Rock the Nations. I was traveling across America, telling kids to fast and pray. And at that time, I had a dream. I had a dream in which I was with the leaders of Rock the Nations, and a little boy named Joel was in the meeting. And I came to this little boy named Joel in the dream, and I was supposed to be giving him a letter. And his name was Joel. I was supposed to be giving him a letter, and I had lost it and was frantically looking for it. I woke up from the dream, and the Lord spoke to me, don't lose Joel's letter. Yeah. Joel chapter 2, when there's no hope for a nation, when there is no remedy, blow the trumpet in Zion. Call all the people together. Call upon him today, and afterward I'll pour out my spirit. And I knew the Lord was speaking to me. There's coming the days of united massive gatherings where God will fight for us if we're willing to gather. Race, gender, uniting together in solemn assemblies. I didn't know what that looked like. And then in 1997, Promise Keepers put 1 million men on the mall in DC, 1.4 million men to pray for this nation. A week later, I was in a gathering of young people with Rock the Nations. I held up the front page of the USA Today, and I experienced a spirit of prophecy like I've never known. And I declared, the hearts of the fathers are turning to the children, but the hearts of the children are turning to their fathers. And there's coming a corresponding move of young people to the mall. And it will be a John the Baptist fasting and praying Nazarite generation. And when they go to the mall, it will be a sign that America is turning back to God. I delivered that message and had no way of pulling it off. When God handed out left brains, he left mine out. I couldn't organize a thing. Ask my wife. And so we prayed. We began gathering young people. Up to 4,500 would gather together for 3 days in Colorado Springs to fast, that stadiums would be filled in America. Let me tell you, pray your dreams. Frame your future by praying your dreams. I'm telling my story, but you have a different dream stream, but it's glorious. I'm gonna pray for dreams before I got 9 minutes. Whoa. 3 years praying, 1999, I found myself groaning. How can I turn America back to God? A deep groan, and I knew I'd touched heaven, and a woman came to me. I didn't know who she was. She said, the Lord told me to pay your salary this year because you're going to start something with the youth of America to change the destiny of the nation. I'm thinking, lady, who are you? But I took her money. She paid my salary for 16 years. She's 93. She can no longer pay it. A woman shifted history. 3 months later, she said, have you ever thought about putting kids on the mall like Promise Keepers put them in? I said, ma'am, I prophesied it 2 years ago. She said, I'll give you $100,000 to start it. And God took over. I didn't organize a meeting. Within 1 month, I was before the youth leaders of America, Joshua McDowell and others. And the trumpet of God began to blow. And this weekend, yesterday, September 2nd, 400,000 young people primarily gathered on the mall to cry out to God with the sound that we're not telling anybody who the speakers or the worship teams are because we have enough personality-driven religion in America. We need God, and his prescription is united fasting and prayer. Our board thought maybe 20,000 would show up. I would have nightmares at night when I'm on stage and nobody, and I'm the only guy on stage and only 40 people showed up. I'd wake up with sweating, thinking, God, this is the worst idea you've ever had. I'm feeling that now about what's coming October 9th. I don't know, but I have followed this voice that leads me here. 17 years of stadiums, and 10 years ago, I was in Nashville. We're 77,000. I want to show that. Can you put that picture up? That's Church Street. 30,000 people walk Church Street in silence, where the strip joints are, saying that sexual immorality has come to the church. We are repenting, and homosexuals were handing out water as we're going along the way because of the kind of, it wasn't a protest, it was a prayer. What's that? Yeah, I didn't realize it, but it's on the front of my phone right there. My wife just showed it. 10 years ago, we prayed for a Jesus movement. And the 40th anniversary, the Summer of Love, took place in the 60s, the 70s, the great rebellion, but the great outpouring of the Jesus movement. And now we're at the Jubilee year. I've come back to 10 years after now, and I feel I've come back to something that's ready to give birth, to a womb that is ready to give birth. It's Labor Day weekend. And my October 9th is my birthday with my twin sister. I just had a dream. She's a Calvary Chapel pastor with her husband. Had a dream in which the LA Times came down from heaven and it says Lou Engle and his twin sister are beginning to see the Jesus movement. Could this be the beginnings of the outpouring? You say, well, it's just a dream. It's just a dream. Who knows what kind of demonic powers angels had to fight through just to deliver a message, and we say it's just a dream? That's right. Yeah. Seriously. It's time to listen to the voice and tremble at it. And so recently when our president was inaugurated, 500,000 women marched on the mall. And I'm not pointing the finger at that march because in many ways they had a voice that was saying it's time for women to arise. But there were millions who watched it and says that's not my revolution. Because it founded on the word of God. It was founded on the foundation of bloodshed and the legal, continuous legalization of abortion. Brothers and sisters, God stirred my heart because of a prophecy we received 3 years ago that the women of America, like Promise Keepers, would go to the mall and they would pray for their children and they would give birth to a new Jesus movement, and it would be the hammer that breaks Roe v. Wade. With this burning in my heart, I went to Estes Park when witches worldwide were cursing our president. I went to Estes Park and I had a dream, and I can't tell the whole dream. I just tell you, I saw an Esther movement coming. They were coming from everywhere to hear the book of Esther be taught. I know what Esther stands for. It's to break the decree of Haman. There is a decree of bloodshed over this nation that has lasted for 73. It is time for the courts of America. It is time for reformation of the courts of America. It is time for Esther to arise and appeal before the king. It is time for her to gather and unite in Joel for the birthing of salvation for their own children and for this nation. I have come here today with 4 minutes left to tell you I am grateful of what Nashville meant to me. And I don't think it's an accident that we would be here when your church started on October 9th, what year? 1994, when we started a church in the revival of the 90s. I wanna pray for you right now. Maybe have that worship team, if you can, quickly. I just wanna pray. And I'm not gonna have you stand. I just want you to just kinda open your heart. And I wanna pray the mantle of Frank Bartleman. The grace of fasting on this community. You say, fasting. Oh, listen, I hate fasting. But I love it because I get bread from heaven. I've seen breakthroughs when I've prayed for my children. 31 days of fasting for my son when I'd lost my son's heart. And God visited him. And I got my boy back. It's time for the Elijahs to stretch themselves out over a dead generation and raise them. It's time for the Deborahs and the Esthers to rise in a time of great crisis in America and cry out, save us, God. Give us a third great awakening. I want to pray right now. Just open your hearts. I want to pray. Father, I pray for this church an anointing for day and night prayer, for the fires of revival to be kindled. Stir us and stir men and women, young men and women to the spirit of faith and revival. Father, I pray right now, just receive this. You don't have to feel it, just receive it. I loose the grace of fasting right now. This marvelous grace that when there's no grace, it's impossible to fast. But when you prepare the heart and quicken it, Father, I pray for the release of the grace of fasting. Can you say yes? Yes, Lord, I receive. I want to pray for dreams. Wherever I go, people dream dreams. It's just part of our story. It's the last day's language of the Holy Spirit. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. They'll dream dreams and see visions. One time a woman came to me after a meeting and said, I've never had a dream. I've never prayed in tongues. I said, okay, let's pray. Give her a dream and have her pray in tongues. She came back the next week. I said, did you have a dream? Yes, I had a dream that I was praying in tongues and I woke up praying in tongues. Holy Spirit, fill people with the dreams of heaven. Loose ministries and movements out of this place that change the world. I know you're already doing it, but release it in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for an apostolic anointing on this church to affect not just Nashville, not just Tennessee, but this nation and the nations of the earth. Let's move together. I call you October 9th. Unite with us, with tens of thousands of women, to call on God, like Esther, to save a nation. God bless you. I have a book at the back. It's called The Jesus Fast. It's the best book you'll ever read. It really is. Maybe I'll tell the story the next service, but anyway, bless you all. Thank you for letting me be here, Pastor.
Can we tell Lou thank you? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Said this before, you know, when we say amen, because in our English language, we just think that means like, okay, it's over, go to lunch. Amen means so be it. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So be it. God, I hate to stop right now. I don't know what else to do. We're gonna get in trouble. There's gonna be problems out on the streets and in the parking lot, and there's gonna be angry Christians right after we heard a great message.
Steve, let her sing.
Huh?
Let her sing, man.
Nicole?
She's got a song.
She does?
Yes.
Well, have at it. Great. Go, Nicole.
We are asking Nicole to sing on the mall on that day.
You are?
Yes. We are asking her to sing.
Yes. Go ahead.
Que la niña en mí despierte y lo que estaba muerto vuelva a vivir. Talitha cumbe, levántate. Talitha cumbe, levántate. Talitha cumbe. Talitha cumbe, arise. May the child in me revive. And all that was shattered brought back to life.
Before you check out of here, you need to find three people, give them a high five, and say, arise. Bam, bam, bam. Go ahead. Arise, arise, arise. God bless y'all.